From health and wellness to education,
we need to be thinking about what it takes for students to succeed.
From art and politics to social issues of the day,
we have young Black males who are thriving in their communities and who are being shown as leaders.
The journey is what matters.
I would say to all of us, we can be better than we are.
Let's join Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of Howard University, and his guests as they take steps on the journey.
Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Today, my guest on the journey is Dean Bernard Richardson, the fourth dean of Andrew Rankin Chapel here at Howard University. Welcome, Dean Richardson.
Good to be here, President Frederick.
Now, you are an alum of Howard University. You earned your bachelor's degree here in sociology in 1975. You've had an opportunity to interact with some other deans of the chapel. Why don't you tell us a little bit about who those deans were and your perspective of the role of dean of the chapel?
Well, as you know, Howard was the third institution, academic institution, to have a dean of the chapel. The first was University of Chicago and then Princeton. And so President Mordecai Wyatt Johnson, who was affiliated with University of Chicago, followed a lot of their models and created a dean of the chapel. Interesting enough, when Dean Thurman, the first dean in the chapel, came, he was appointed a faculty member, but also chairman of the Religious Fellowship Council. And that evolved into the dean in the chapel position. I've had the pleasure of being there when Dean Crawford was dean of the chapel, who I hold in such high regard, because he was dean during a real difficult time for the university. I half jokingly say that when Dean was here, people were questioning the existence of God.
Right.
And then you had the struggle, Black Power movement, and Dean was involved in all of that. When Stokely Carmichael came back to the university, he talked about how the chapel was sanctuary space. And that still continues today, that when anything happening on campus, students find their way into the chapel. And throughout our history, that has been sort of a sanctuary space, sacred place, where nobody will bother you.
Right.
I mean, you can hold your meetings, your protests, and everything else. That's where students go back to, and faculty, and staff. So that's part of the history. Dean Crawford, I think, was a genius in terms of being able to communicate so well with all aspects of the university community.
You know, the men that you've mentioned who were deans before you certainly set the stage for what the role the chapel has played on campus. And it's interesting because on an academic campus where people are talking about academic freedom and academic integrity, it must be difficult sometimes weaving in the role of that dean of the chapel. And what have you seen as the obstacles, and how have you gone about navigating
it? Interesting
enough,
we have been blessed here at Howard because the chapel's always been part of the community. It's always been a central part of the Howard University community. So we're giving privileges at Rankin Chapel that other universities don't have. And I think all administrations have respected the role of the chapel. So the other thing is that probably because of our heritage, spirituality and religion has always been a base for all of the movements. And people feel very comfortable with that, whether it's praying before significant events or even in the hospital. You have patients and requesting prayer and even surgeons praying before they operate. Mm-hmm. It's just so part of our heritage. It's been accepted as what's important in terms of developing leaders.
Now, you, as part of your role, apart from seeing the prior deans of the chapel and now in your role, you also see generation of students.
Yeah.
And I'm sure with all the cynicism that occurs in our society today, you probably see a student body that the rest of us don't see. What do you see in the student body as respect to their spirituality?
Well, there's been a change over the years. At one time, and Dean Poff and I talk about this, religion was a very private matter. But now, students are very open with their faith and their spirituality, and for them, they talk about it being the foundation for whatever they do. The other change I think that has occurred is that the advocacy. I see students really serving in a different capacity. I often joke, my generation, we like to protest. But this generation, they're not afraid of protest, but they are also into planning and strategy. They're into more of what I call even a second half of life position, that is about meaning. What does it all mean? I'm going to protest, but why am I protesting? Mm-hmm. I don't know if we ask those kinds of deep questions during my time. So I think our students are incredible.
Yeah, I think you make an excellent point. You know, I came here after serving as an altar boy for 7 years. So in my own upbringing, the church played a very critical role. And it's interesting to hear you describe students who are using the chapel today in terms of that. What about faculty in particular?
Yeah, the same thing with the faculty. The issues, with faculty, I share with them often that there's a difference between what I call first half and second half of life. In the first half of life, the spiritual issues, you wrestle, I say, with the devil. It's about what you can or cannot do. In the second half of life, spirituality, it has to do with wrestling with God because it's about meaning. What does this mean for me? And so with faculty, the issues are around meaning. You know, what am I doing? What's my purpose? And am I making the best use of my time? I shared with someone just recently that I did a workshop, and they often ask me, students often ask me, if you could do anything differently, what would you do? And I said, that's easy for me because one of my greatest weaknesses coming up was that I didn't live in the moment. When you have a sense of calling, you're always looking ahead. But to live in the moment becomes critical in the second half of life. And so I share with students that no matter, I will say to them, whenever you reach your dream, the dream job or whatever it is, you're going to feel the same way you feel in this present moment unless you learn to live in the moment and to see that everything is important, to have an openness and about all of life.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Dean Bernard Richardson, the Dean of the Chapel here at Howard University. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Dean, just to switch gears a little bit, you started talking about being in the moment and what meaning we have in the moment. Given everything that is occurring around us in our society today, what do you see in this moment, and where do you see Howard and Howard's spiritual existence having a role to play in the moment?
I think we have difficult challenges because the values that Howard wants to share with our students are not the values of the broader community many times. We live in a celebrity culture. And when I was coming up, so many of my generation were coming up, our models for ministry, our models for service were those like the Benjamin E. Mays and Dr. King's. And it was about service without the celebrity part. Dr. King didn't know he was going to be Dr. King as we know him today. So we didn't have that burden. These students now are burdened because everything is judged by this celebrity culture. So to be able to, for someone to live out their life's meaning and calling without worrying about getting name recognition and those kinds of things are very difficult for them because they're not valued anymore unless it's in that part of that celebrity world. And that's one of the most difficult challenges. Matter of fact, sometimes the pressure and the struggle is not money, but it's recognition. Power and privilege becomes more important than even money. And so to get someone to serve and not to put celebrity culture, power, privilege ahead of the need to serve, we have to teach somehow that serving has its own value. It's not something that happens after you accomplish something, then you're going to serve. But while you're serving, it makes you whole, it makes you complete, and it makes your whole life better.
You know, weaving that service into the journey of the Howard University student life is one that you have done over the course of more than 20 years with Alternative Spring Break that the university has done, and you certainly have spearheaded that effort. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us about alternative spring break and that type of service you get.
Yeah, I think what makes Howard unique is that other schools have alternative spring break, but it's not to the level of Howard, and that is because it's embraced by the entire community. I think one of the biggest joys of my life was during the Katrina crisis, and whether it was a custodian or administrator, they were all part of it. They were all helping the students. They were donating money. They were so part of, they were so excited about students serving. When we went to New Orleans, we were in buses and there were cars. People were just beeping their horns saying, thank you, thank you. We went into a restaurant to eat and the waitress, started crying. She says, you came here to help us? I mean, and so to watch students' lives being changed by serving is just an amazing experience. And this is what they do. They dedicate themselves, and I challenge our students, because one of the greatest things about alternative spring break is the preparation. The students are actually in charge. They're interviewing other students, they're contacting agencies. I mean, they're so efficient. I mean, details, everything. And that process itself is remarkable. And so we're developing leaders by doing that. And that's one of the things that's so important about the things that we don't talk enough about ASB. We challenge our students to make decisions. They'll come to us and say, what do we do? I said, you decide. Mm. You know, and to see that struggle and see them developing into leaders.
Well, it has certainly grown, and it certainly is one of the crown jewels, I think, of the activities that take place on our campus. You mentioned Benjamin E. Mays earlier and Howard Thurman. Those two men in particular, when you look at the chapel religious life on our campus, they're two men that our students today, currently, their only connection would be to someone like you. Mm. For instance, what can you tell us about the lives of Mays and Thurman that you think we should today take something from?
Benjamin Mays used to share with the students at Morehouse, and he would say it's like that experience was like putting a crown over your head, even though you knew it would take a lifetime to go tall enough to wear it. And Benjamin Mays, when he would say, don't seek greatness, seek to serve. And when you seek to serve, you'll bump into greatness along the way. These were the things that they would say that would resonate with students. And again, it wasn't that celebrity culture they were talking. They were talking about real service. And it did something. It created a kind of culture, as you talk about often, create change in the culture. And that's what he did. And Howard Thurman, to change the culture, to make people understand that there's such a need to serve. I mean, it's the gift, and to share your gifts with the world. And that's what Benjamin Mays did, and Howard Thurman, and to realize that your greatness is second to none, you know, and because if you serve, you become great. And these are the words that Dr. King heard and so many others heard. They were so inspired. And sometimes we forget that. I often share with students that when they talk about Mordecai Wyatt Johnson going to Boston University and Dr. King hearing him, but before that, they had that meeting in the chapel about India and the struggle. And faculty were talking about their experiences. They talked about that. And that one conversation, Dr. Johnson went to Boston University and influenced Dr. King. And look what happened. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we forget that that's our responsibilities. Those things that we might inspire somebody that who literally go out and change the world. And so we have a great responsibility and a great privilege here at Howard University.
That's absolutely right. Well, on that note, Dean, thanks for being here. My guest today has been Dean Bernard Richardson. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, right here on the Howard University Radio Network.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR World on HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, glasshouseradio.com, HUR Voices Sirius XM 141, HBCU Sirius XM 142, and 96.3 WHUR Washington.